MZTV.
Good morning, everybody. This is Martin Sender outside in the beautiful land of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Our fellow believer, Drew Costin from Toronto, had a great comment yesterday. I'm going to read that now. Drew said this: "My view is that yes, miracles and the various sign gifts technically can happen." I should have mentioned this. This is a brilliant point. God can do anything he wants at any time. Let me continue this. "But they're the exception rather than the rule for us." And I would say for anybody. The sign gifts could basically be manifested upon demand, so to speak, back in Bible times. That's right. Because the Spirit of God operated in that way at that time. So you could say, let's do it right now. I guess that's where modern people think they can evoke the Holy Spirit. They have signs out in front of their churches. Holy Spirit revival, 7 p.m. Oh, really? Does the Holy Spirit have a watch? What if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up? It doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit shows up or not at these revivals. They carry on very well without it. At this point, I believe such things can and do occur on extremely rare occasion. But we shouldn't count on them occurring. Great point. The Holy Spirit does not perform on demand. It does not perform according to our schedule. Nor should it be urged to, as if we are the final deciders of what God should do. So we shouldn't count on them, at least within the body of Christ. As for those in the Israel of God, I can't say for sure. But for the body of Christ, we're supposed to walk by faith. Exactly. Now, the reason I'm not for these early manifestations carrying on today is because today, the soup du jour is deception. And I'm afraid that any manifestation of languages today, 99% is deception. Now, I should have mentioned this yesterday. Do I think the Lord can heal people? Of course he can heal people. And I'm not going to doubt any instance that you or anyone could give me. I'm not going to doubt that it could happen or that it did happen. I'm not going to call you or anyone else a liar. But I will say that just like languages, that whole arena is ripe for deception. And I would say, as our brother Drew Costin suggests, that deception is the most probable cause of these things. But we're not going to just say that the legitimate can't happen. Because God can do anything he wants. So could it be that miracles fall in the same category as what I was speaking on yesterday, the speaking in languages? That it's part of immaturity, that it can happen, but we shouldn't count on it, because mature people do not count on physical manifestations. Mature people, this is one of the marks of maturity, besides love, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, depending fully on the Spirit, depending fully on faith and not on perception. This is also a sign of maturity. So now let me continue on in the scriptures. I'm going to be focused more on the scriptures today. I'm going to be done with this today. Paul says in, well now, Sender, you're going to have to put your glasses on here. So here we go. Watch out. Scholarly Sender coming up. Oh yes. The world's most outspoken, bespeckled Bible scholar. I'm in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. "Now you are the body of Christ and members of a part, whom God also indeed placed in the ecclesia. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, thereupon powers, thereupon graces of healing, supports, pilotage." That's a weird word in the Concordant version. It just means government, steering something, piloting people for their benefit, which is not what politicians do today. Anyway, species of languages. There we are. That's the second occurrence of species of languages. So there's so much variation in the body of Christ. You have talents. I have talents. God needs every one of us. No one is in this. No one is dispensable. We're all indispensable. Oh, and speaking of healing, You could, let's say there's a miracle that happens today. You could heal somebody of a broken arm. Oh, that's a great miracle. But what good is that if that person is not at peace? What good is the mending of a broken arm, or the fixing of a bad kidney, or the relief of a breathing condition? What? Someone would say, well, what could be better than that? I'll tell you what could be better than that. Giving somebody peace, giving somebody an expectation. That's the bigger miracle. Oh, people think that it's so great if you could just perform miracles. Here's a miracle that somebody believes the evangel and comes to peace because of it. Comes to a better understanding of themselves, a better understanding of God, a knowledge of the future, not only their future, but the future of the entire world. So a person who is at peace and understands that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will, that person can sustain a broken arm or can sustain an illness. But again, if you have perfect health without peace, then you don't have health at all. So the greater miracle, well, here you go. I guess I do believe in miracles. And the miracle today, the highest miracle, the greatest miracle, is the giving of faith from God. That trumps everything. And it comes by hearing, and hearing comes by heralding, and heralding comes by one being sent. These are the miracles because they're lasting. Peace can sustain you through physical infirmities, but the lack of physical infirmities does not necessitate peace. We're heralding the peace of God, which is superior to every frame of mind, and it's superior to every condition of the body. It's transcendent. This is why Paul calls his message the transcendent grace of God. Of course, Paul goes on here in chapter 13 about love. This is what I just said. It's verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. And still I'm showing you a path suited to transcendence. Okay, so as great as these gifts were at the time, Paul says, and still I'm showing you a path suited to transcendence. In other words, here's something better that trumps all these other gifts, and that is love. And we're always looking at this as, okay, we have to love people more. We should love. And that's true. But the path suited to transcendence is understanding that God is love and he acts accordingly. What kind of peace can anyone have if he or she is worried that God is a God ultimately of wrath, that God's wrath is punitive rather than remedial, and that God is in the business of tripping people up in order to send them to hell for eternity? No, the love of the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is the love of God. Yes, it includes our love, but you've seen my shows before when I've applied all these elements of 1 Corinthians 13 to God, to loving God, and they also apply to God loving humanity. All right, here's an important thing now. I'm not going to go through the elements of love. I'm going down to verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is never lapsing. That's the one thing, as I told you yesterday, that lasts to the consummation and beyond. Love is never lapsing. Yet with the prophecies, they will be discarded. There you go. I told you that yesterday. Or languages, they will cease. Or knowledge, it will be discarded. Knowledge. How can knowledge be discarded? This is the special gift of knowledge. It's not knowledge in general. It's the gift, a special supernatural gift to understand things back then before the word of God was manifest. Like Jesus Christ did to the apostles in the upper room. He gave them knowledge of everything he had said before. When that Holy Spirit came on them, it was a gift of knowledge. We're not talking about knowledge in general. For out of an installment are we knowing, out of an installment are we prophesying. That is a part. An installment is a part. This is just a part of the whole picture of what you're seeing here, Paul says, with these manifestations. When I was a minor, I spoke as a minor. I was disposed as a minor. I took account of things as a minor. Yet when I have become a man, I have discarded that which is a minor's. That's why I told you yesterday, the species of language where you're praying privately to the Spirit, it's a teddy bear. It's a help. But when maturity comes, it's discarded. It's considered to be a child's toy. When I have become a man, I've discarded that which is a minor's. For at present, we are observing by means of a mirror in an enigma. That is, the Word of God was not completely manifest yet. And so Paul was gradually laying it on the people and laying it on us. It didn't come all at once. I don't know if it came to him all at once and he portioned it out, or it came to him himself. He himself in installments. So at present, that is Paul saying, as I'm writing this letter, we are observing by means of a mirror in an enigma. Yet then, face to face, that is, no more enigmas, no more mirrors, direct statements concerning Christ and his love for us and his accomplishments on the cross. At present, I know out of an installment apart. Yet then, when maturity comes, this is not, when he says then, he's not talking about the consummation, or he's not talking about the day when we are given immortality. Then I shall recognize according as I am recognized also. This is not the amount of recognition. Like Christ knows everything about us. Paul's not saying that when maturity comes, we're going to know everything about Christ. No, this is the kind. It's not an amount. It's the kind of recognition. Then I shall recognize according as I am recognized also. In other words, it'll be clear recognition. The kind of recognition, a recognition without enigmas, without mysteries, without looking in a mirror. It's directly in your face, God making positive statements about how it is with you, how you are justified, what Christ did. Paul says then, yet now are remaining faith, expectation, love, these three. Yet the greatest of these is love. Be pursuing love. Faith and expectation exist now. I can't stand faith and expectation, because whenever we're faithful and expectant, it means we haven't received the thing yet. Because why do we need faith for something that's already here? But we need faith for something that is still invisible, yet in the future. But when we are changed, faith and expectation go by the wayside. Love is remaining. Love is remaining. I don't know if tomorrow I'm going to go into chapter 14 or not. I just don't know. You'll find out tomorrow. I feel like I pretty much unloaded what I wanted to say here. We'll see how it goes. I'll look at it after this. But for now, know that be pursuing love. Be pursuing love. Don't be pursuing things of a physical manifestation that will prove to you that God is real. We don't need proof. God gave us all the proof we need by the accounts in the scriptures of people seeing Christ resurrected. The apostles handling him, seeing that he was real and not a spirit. But we believe by faith, not perception. But love is the tie that binds not only our love for one another and even the love we have for our enemies, but understanding the love of God and what it accomplishes and what it has accomplished through the cross of Christ.